Chapter 5. The next day I showed the bottle to Mr. Franklin. "They believe the boy can see where eyes cannot see," he said. He smiled. "If he can see into the bank, they won't trouble us here any longer." "Maybe the boy could see through walls, because they never came near the house again in the weeks before Rachel's birthday. They simply remained in Fritzing Hall, doing their magician's trade." On May the 29th, Miss Rachel and Mr. Franklin decided to make a horrible smell and a great mess and spoil a door. Mr. Franklin was an expert on decorative painting and had invented a special way of mixing paint. Special substances were sent from London. The revolutionary paint was mixed and smelled so bad that it made even the dogs sneeze. The unlucky door was Miss Rachel's sitting room door. For days they were busy as bees, spoiling it with complicated designs, and the pleasure they took in each other's company became obvious to everyone. There was no doubt that Mr. Franklin was in love. Miss Rachel's feelings, however, were not so obvious. Some, such as Penelope, were sure they would marry. I doubted it. Miss Rachel is the finest, most graceful of women. Dark, beautifully shaped, she is a pleasure to the eyes. Although cheeky, playful and secretive by nature, there is nothing false about her. I have never known her lie or break her word. She has, however, one fault. Many times I have heard my lady say, "Rachel's worst enemy is herself." Yes, I know few as devilishly stubborn as her. She only ever goes one way, her own. Which brings me to my opinion of her views about marriage. My lady's sister married Mr. Ablewhite, a banker, and they live near Fritzing Hall. On June the 12th, an invitation to the birthday party was sent to their son, Mr. Godfrey Ablewhite, in London. The man, I believed, she loved. Mr. Godfrey, a lawyer, was taller and finer looking than Mr. Franklin, and most popular with the ladies, being well known for his tireless work as president of several women's charities. The poor and homeless women of England depended on him. And what a public speaker! I heard him perform once at a charity meeting. Who could not give money to a man like this? Mr. Godfrey accepted the invitation. No doubt sensing the competition, Mr. Franklin tried everything to win Miss Rachel's hand. He even gave up smoking. She hated the smell of his cigars. Without their calming effect, he began to sleep badly. Penelope believed this sacrifice had impressed Miss Rachel. Perhaps. But in her bedroom, she had a photograph of Mr. Godfrey speaking at a charity meeting. On June the 16th, Mr. Franklin's chances got even worse, to my mind, when a French lawyer visited the house. He had a heated conversation with Mr. Franklin and my lady. Apparently, Miss Rachel said some severe things to Mr. Franklin that evening about people he knew on the continent, about a woman and about a debt that my lady had paid for him. The next day, however, they seemed to be friends again, singing and joking as they decorated the door. Penelope said Mr. Franklin had made an offer, which had been neither accepted nor refused. On the 19th, Dr. Candy came to see Rosanna. The poor girl had lost her appetite, often showed signs of crying, was behaving most strangely. and was always putting herself in Mr. Franklin's way. He never even noticed her, of course. My lady noticed the change. Trying to protect her, I said she had problems with her health. Dr. Candy said it was her nerves. My lady suggested a change of air, work on one of our farms. Rosanna begged to be allowed to stay. On the 20th, a note from Mr. Godfrey came from Fritzing Hall, saying he would come over the following afternoon. With it came a beautifully decorated Chinese box for Miss Rachel. Mr. Franklin had given her a plain piece of jewellery, worth only half as much.